Our Heavenly Father, we are so grateful. And we say this often, that thou hast not left us as orphans here on this earthly sphere, but has given us of thy Spirit. And Lord, even with the power that thy Holy Spirit can dwell within our heart, for those who would truly want to be refreshed and renewed from above. We're thankful, Lord, for thy holy eternal word. And Lord, as we now look into thy word again this afternoon hour, that you would grant us, Lord, a blessing, a refreshment of rain from above, that, Lord, where we are lacking in our walk with you, that you would refresh us, remind us, encourage us, uplift us, strengthen us, and even admonish us, Lord, for the things that perhaps we should know as servants of thine, but maybe are failing or are lacking. We know that we can look to Jesus, the author and finish of our faith, and that we can ask forgiveness, Lord, where we have failed as servants of thine, as children of thine. And so to that end, Lord, as we read thy eternal words, just please bless them to our heart and mind and body and spirit. And we pray this, Lord, in the matchless, mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Loved ones on my mind and heart, this afternoon is a reading in Psalm. I want to read Psalm 119. That's the longest chapter by far in the Word of God. And I'm not going to read the entire Psalm. I want to focus on the fifth section. So as you probably know, Psalm 119 is split into eight verse sections. Each eight verse section associates with a Hebrew letter of the alphabet, starting with Aleph. And then we go to Beth, which is our equivalent of A, B, C is Gimel, Daleth is D, and Hey, which is the equivalent of our English E, is where I'd like to start. That starts in verse 33 of Psalm 119. And with the help of the Lord, it just struck me and it touched me in my heart and mind, the words that David uses. Most of us know that in Psalm 119, every single verse, I think except with the exception of two verses, always, every single verse mentions God's testimonies, his commandments, his law, those things that were on David's mind. He was fixed on them so much that every single verse has something to say about God's commandments, God's law, God's provision for man in his words. And so that, no exception here with the fifth section of Psalm 119, starting at verse 33, this is what David, the man after God's own heart, pens in this particular section. He says, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me an understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." And by the way, that word delight is the thing that kind of drew me to Psalm 119. It's a very interesting Hebrew word. We'll talk about that. But that word's concept or idea prevails throughout many of the Psalms, but especially in Psalm 119, we'll talk about what that word delight means. So again, with verse 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. So you notice that every single verse, precepts, commandments, judgments, law, testimonies, right? What a beautiful example of how David was devoted, really, and delighted in God's law. He mentions it almost every 174 of the 176 verses that are in Psalm 119. I'd like to start the sermon with a list of words, and I'm going to only give you half of these words, and try to see if you can figure out if there's a common denominator or some common linchpin between these words. I wrote some of these down because the idea behind this list is the idea that David had for God and his word. I'll give you the first half of the list right now, and then we'll come back to this last half of the list a little bit later on if we talk a little bit about the kinds of words David used here, the action verbs, in this fifth section. First half of the list, work, shopping, food, exercise, TV, social media, work, shopping, food, exercise, TV, social media. There's something that's in common with all of those things. There's more to the list, and I'm even going to give you a partial list here this afternoon, but I want you to think about what relates all those words together as we discuss then how David uses some of his words in Psalm 119. So it's very interesting for me anyway. Again, loved ones, I guess I want to say I delight. If I see a word in the scripture, especially in the King James Version, because it's not in the modern day vernacular, and I see a phrase like, I shall keep it unto the end, that sounds pretty simple, right? I'll keep it unto the end. I'll keep it forever. But, sometimes in your meditations, you're like, well, what did the author really mean by this word or by this phrase? And it's actually very interesting in verse 33, where David says, teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, I shall keep it unto the end. There's a very interesting Hebrew word there, which basically the root of it is heel. The keep it unto the end part is a Hebrew word picture, if you will, but the word represents a picture, and the picture is heel, but the connotation here is to grasp or grab the heel. Does that sound familiar? To grab the heel? If it does sound familiar, you'd be right. You would have seen that word, or you would have heard of that concept all the way back in Genesis, where Esau was lamenting, first of all, that he sold his birthright to not the firstborn, but the secondborn, which was Jacob. But you remember when the twins came out, Jacob was grabbing a hold of Esau's heel. And so that Hebrew word, grabbing the heel, really comes to mean something like supplanting or tripping someone up, right? Basically, if you're on the football field and you grab, the ball carrier's feet, he's gonna you've knocked him down, right? He's not going to go forward anymore. The idea here, though, behind grabbing the heel, that is, keep it unto the end, is that you're going to hold on to whatever that is. In this case, it's God's testimonies, and you're not going to let go. Again, same Hebrew word, but not letting go, grabbing the heel, making sure that those statutes, those testimonies, those commandments that you love and you're devoted to, you're never going to let them go. That's grabbing the heel. An interesting, colorful Hebrew word there. In verse 34, give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law, and I shall observe it with my whole heart. I want you to think about someone who's in front of the TV or in the monitor, and that's all they see, and that's all they're concentrating on. I will observe it with my whole heart. Forget about the abstractions. I'm focused on this one thing. That's what David's really using those words there in verse 34. 35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. And that was the word really that led me to this chapter, specifically this fifth section in Psalm 119, because I'm going to tell you the clue to the list that I gave you. That delight really is, in Hebrew, it's like an assignment, but we would think of it as addiction. I'm addicted to your word. In your word, these laws, these commands, these testimonies, I am addicted. These are some of the words that that David is using. 36, incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Incline my heart. Incline my heart. Bend my heart. You know, show me the way. Not only show me the way, but guide my heart along that path. Verse 37 is an interesting one. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in the way. We know that the word quicken is make alive, but turn away is an interesting one. Basically, you can think of yank. And think of a dog on a leash who's being yanked by the owner to go the right way, even though the dog wants to go somewhere else, but loving it. That's the word picture here in the Hebrew. Yank or turn away mine eyes from beholding emptiness or beholding the worthless things in life. Well, there are some beautiful word pictures here that really speak to why David was called a man after God's own heart. Because here was a man that was addicted, devoted, dedicated, focused on God's holy word. Amazing. Verse 39, turn away my reproach and I fear, for thy judgments are good. And then verse 40, behold, I have longed. Oh, by the way, I missed 38. Establish thy word, make it a foundation unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Again, single thread, nothing else in my mind. Not going to be distracted. I have one single thread of thought. That's a devotion. And then verse 40, behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Look at these words. These words really only, they describe an addict, if you will. I shall grab the heels of your testimonies and never let go. That's verse 33. I will observe it. I will keep it in my heart and mind and eye with my whole heart. Therein in thy commandments do I delight. Actually, that Hebrew word is very important. I didn't talk about that, but one of the reasons why I was reading through 119 is that word is used probably 6 or 7 times throughout this psalm in particular. And that word is derive pleasure from. Derive pleasure from. Turn away. Yank my spirit, my mind and heart from the things that are empty, beholding vanity, and make me alive in your way. I'm thinking even the words of Jesus when he said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And he said, you know, the flesh and blood profiteth little, but it's the spirit that quickens and makes alive. Right? So loved ones, I was just struck with the words that David was using. And we don't talk about being addicted to something that's good. That word addiction is really reserved for bad behavioral disorders like the first half of the list that I just mentioned, right? Somebody could be a workaholic. They could be addicted. Their behaviors could be changed because of their addiction or devotion or focus or unhealthy dedication or commitment to something. In this case, for some, it might be work. For others, it could be shopping. For some, it could be food. For some, it could be exercise. For some, it could be TV or social media. For some, it could be gaming. For some, it could be internet. For some, it could be gambling. It could be sex. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. And there's many more things that a person could get addicted to. Just a short meditation this afternoon, but as I was thinking about these things and how it could be said that David was addicted to God's word. Now, we know that David wasn't perfect, right? But he certainly knew who to run to when he knew that he erred, when he knew that he was off the righteous path. He knew who to go to. That was also part of what made David a man after God's own heart. Because it's almost like he was always, for the most part in his life, pursuing God where he was or what God was giving to him. That was his pursuit. That was his devotion. And so we could say that David was addicted to God's word. In a good way, we would call that a devotion, I think it would be. What's interesting to me is that there have been many, many, many studies of how these things that we just mentioned in this list are changing behavior. These are behavioral disorders, right? Many studies, but I can't find, at least not Googling on the internet, right? Or I haven't looked at medical journals per se. But it's interesting to note that there are not many studies of the behavioral ordering that comes into play when we read God's word. We don't read too much, or we don't find too much about addiction to God's word. And so I want to leave all of us with a question, myself included, as we ask for God's blessing upon his word today. A question, a soul-searching question for each and every single one of us. Why is it so easy for many to get addicted to these things that we just listed, but so difficult to get addicted to God's word? That's a question I want to leave myself and you all with this afternoon. Why is it so difficult for many of us to be addicted to God's word? May we ponder that on our hearts. As I close with, I really appreciated the brother asking for this last chorale here in 259, because it talks about this addiction and devotion. It says, O Lord, how shall I meet thee? How welcome thee aright? Grant thou that I may know thee, and filled with thy true grace, my spirit longs to greet thee, O thou my heart's delight. My soul may truly own thee and worthily give praise. Now, I read that a little bit out of order, but notice the word delight there. Do we find it hard to be devoted or addicted to God's holy word? May we ponder that throughout this next week. God bless his word to our hearts.